Well, who turned off the heat up here? I just wonder about that. I want to thank you all for the opportunity to be away last week, and I trust that the service and Minister Leonard Taylor were a blessing to you as you gathered for worship. Thank you for that opportunity to be away and to enjoy some time. Just Patty and me, we had a good time together, and we're glad to be back with you all this morning. I want to say Happy New Year to all of you. And greet you again on this very first Sunday of the year 2022. But I also want to remind us that we have just completed a time of celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And I say it that way because we haven't completed Christmas yet. You may have noticed this tie that I'm wearing today. Anybody notice? You can't hardly miss it, right? We're still in Christmas. Christmas is not over. This is the eighth day of Christmas, the 12 days of Christmas that follow Christmas. That's where we're at right now, that eighth day. And later on this week, we'll have a day on the calendar. Maybe you've noticed it before. It's a day that's on the calendar on a Thursday. It's called Epiphany. Maybe some of you are familiar with it by the name of Three Kings Day. And it's the day that we recognize the coming of the wise man to see the Christ child. But here we are at the beginning of a brand new year, 2022. Patty and I were just commenting here while we were away. It seems like it was just the other day when the calendar turned to 2000. And here we are now, 2022. And I don't know if you remember when you were in school and you did some math problems to project your age as what you would be when the calendar switched to a new century and how old you would be. Yeah, we're getting there to those ages now. Anyway, the birth of Jesus Christ for us was a turning point in history. Really a time of new beginning, a separation of time even, if you will, from before Christ and after Christ's birth. And we see that similarly, a new year prompts us to reflect upon the past, to reflect upon time and space and where we fit into all of that. And we also pause, as we do at Thanksgiving time, to reflect upon the blessings that we have received in the year just ended. And we thank the Lord for those blessings, the things that he has bestowed upon us in the past. But this, as we know, is also a time of new beginnings. A new start, a fresh start. I've said this probably every year. I love the new calendar because it's fresh and clean, and there's nothing written on it yet. Maybe there's a few doctor's appointments out there that we made last year and we forgot about already. But we'll be reminded, and if you forget, lo and behold, they will send you a reminder if you miss your appointment, and maybe even charge you for it if you don't call them. But anyway, that's another story. We have to think about the time that we have as a new beginning. And I think it's fitting that Jesus' birth and the new year are pretty close together because it is a new beginning when we think about Christmas. It's always kind of a sad time for me as well, and perhaps you too, as you think about taking down the Christmas tree and all the decorations in your home. And perhaps it's even a pain thinking about doing that, and it's something that we don't always look forward to. But I just want you to view the decorations that are around here because I understand they'll be coming down this week. And so just take one good last look around at the beauty of this season. We're grateful to those who participated in hanging of the greens and the hospitality committee, flower committee, all who helped to make this beauty part of our worship service over these past few weeks and months. There was a poem written by Howard Thurman about the end or conclusion of Christmas season, and I want to share that with you this morning. When the song of the angels is stilled, and when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back in their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among others, and to make music in the heart. Many of us reflect upon those very things throughout the Christmas season, We're all much more in tune with gift giving and concerns of other people. But usually when Christmas ends, people kind of get back to life and forget about all of those things. The work of Christmas has begun anew this year to help those that are lost, those that are broken, those that are hungry, and those who are imprisoned, those who are in the building process of a new nation, to bring peace on earth and to make music in our own hearts. So yes, it's a time of new beginnings, a fresh start that we have before us. It's time to make those New Year's resolutions, as it were. Now, many of you have obviously heard of Albert Einstein. He is quoted as the one who's given credit anyway for saying this: insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. If you Google that, you'll find that he's the one credited with saying it, but he probably wasn't the one who actually said it. But he said it over and over enough that he received credit for saying it. When we think about a new year, we think about perhaps doing some different things. We make resolutions. We decide that we're going to lose some weight, that we're going to read the Bible through, that we're going to be better attenders of worship services, and that we're going to help those that are in need, that we're actually going to live the Christian life, that we're going to help those that are broken and hungry and those imprisoned and those who need peace and music in their hearts. And when we think about a new year, Christians aren't much different than any other people out there in the world as far as wanting to change things and do things. However, one thing does separate us from the world, and that is that we want to live for the Lord, that we want to grow closer to Him in the new year. And that's what we're working on. But we struggle, don't we? Each of us struggle in our personal journeys with the Lord. We get bogged down by the failings of our past, and the voice of Satan rattles in our heads and saying, you can't do it. You didn't do it last year. You're not going to do it this year. And those kinds of things begin to drag us down early on in the year. And there'll be a news story on, I guarantee it, here in about 10 days about people and their resolutions and that how they've already broken them. When Patty and I were in Florida this last week for our vacation, we went to a place called Ford's Garage. No, we didn't have car trouble. It's a restaurant there in Florida, in Estero. And on the wall, there's a quote of Henry Ford. And it says this: if I had asked people what they wanted, they would have said faster horses. You like that one, Liz? Faster horses. Meaning, and I researched this some, not a lot, but thinking about what he said here, is people would have told him, most likely, that they wanted the same thing. They just wanted it a little bit better. They wanted the same thing over and over again. But that didn't allow room for innovation. That didn't allow room for creativity. It didn't allow new opportunities. And a new year gives us opportunity to try new things, to do things differently, to change things up from what we are used to. And so as we begin to think about what we will accomplish, I want this to set the tone for the year of 2022. We think about 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, therefore, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. You are a new creation because Jesus Christ is part of your life. This church is a new creation because we worship Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. And it was Jesus himself who said in the book of Revelation, in John's vision, behold, I make all things new. I'm making all things new, Jesus said. So you see, God does not just sit idly by and watch time and space move on. God is involved in our lives. God is involved in the midst of all that happens in this world. He is living and he is active in our world. And guess what? He chooses to work through you if you allow him to work through you. If you are in tune and connected to the vine, Jesus Christ, then he will work through you. He will allow you to participate. And it is through you that he is making all things new, that he is sustaining all things. But we must never forget that it is only through him that we can accomplish these things. Not that we can accomplish everything, but that God has given you something special to do. And through Christ and Christ alone, you are able to accomplish that thing to God's glory. So let us continue on and be nourished together by his word. Let us continue to rejoice in this season of Christmas that is still within our grasp here. And let us remember that it is God who is making all things new. It's hard to believe, but as we begin the year 2022, it seems, as I said, unbelievable that we are beginning the third year of this global pandemic. That is seemingly unreal. And I have said before to you, there was no pandemic 101 class in seminary. They didn't teach us how to run the church during a pandemic or what to expect, because one hadn't happened in over 100 years. This year of 2020, the year just passed of 2021, continued to be a challenge. It continued to be a challenge for families, for individuals, for schools, for churches, for businesses, and yes, governments worldwide, including right here in the United States of America. And then there was a great political divide or political controversies that surround it. And the point that I'm going to make today has nothing to do with that. I'm not choosing sides or asking you to take a side on this debate. But I also don't want to be pessimistic. But just because we've turned the calendar doesn't mean that things have changed that much. I remember when 2020 ended. Well, actually, when it began, I was like, all right, this is kind of cool. 2020, perfect vision, all that kind of stuff, you know, that we were able to begin the year with. And then March came. And then the year 2020 ended, and we thought, oh, hip, hip, hooray, it's going to be a better year in 2021. And then 2021 happened. And things continued. I don't want to be a pessimist, but I want us to remember that just because the pages turn on the calendar, things may not necessarily change in our lives. That means that we're going to have to continue to struggle for some time yet with this pandemic that is in front of us. As families, as schools, as churches, as businesses, we're going to continue to deal with these things. But I have little doubt, however, that God will give us many things that we will need to require to look to him for guidance and direction in this new year. Many of you know that this latest variant of the COVID virus or coronavirus has been dubbed the Omicron virus. And if you're somewhat familiar with the Greek alphabet, you know that Omicron is the 15th letter of the 24 letters within the Greek alphabet. But it was Jesus himself who said these words again in the book of Revelation. He said that I am the Alpha and the Omega. Those two are also in the Greek alphabet. In fact, the beginning and the end. Jesus says, I am the beginning and the end, and the first and the last. And I think that we need to be reminded of that at this time of year. Jesus is at the beginning, and Jesus will be at the end. Jesus was from the beginning of time. Jesus will always be throughout time and to infinity and beyond. I said it. Okay? And so, not only will he be with us at the beginning of the year, but he will always be with us. And we need to remember that at these times, that Jesus is, as he said, the Alpha and the Omega. And we can rest assured if we turn our attention to him as the Alpha and the Omega, that he will be exalted. So, as we begin a new year, I'd like to give some words of encouragement to you from the Word of God. So often we make promises at this time of the year. I've said this before, and I've said it already today, that we make promises that we're going to lose weight, that we're going to get in shape, that we're going to read our Bibles, that we're going to attend church more regularly than we have, that we're going to pray, that we're going to stop being so cranky, that we're going to stop being a know-it-all, stop being judgmental of other people. We're going to stop those kinds of things. We say these things, that we're going to try to be more thankful, and the list could go on and on and on. But as I consider God's word and thinking about this time of the year, I think the Apostle Paul writes to the Philippian believers in Philippians for our reading today, Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. He gives some powerful words. They're powerful because they're truthful. And these words are often used at the beginning of a new year. So I'll share them with you now from Paul the Apostle. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of for me. I do not count myself to be to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forward to the things that are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul lifts up one main thing. We're going to get to that in a minute. But as he lifts up that one thing, he divides it into three sections. And we're going to look at those three things today. And it's a reminder to all of us in the beginning of a new year that we must, as a church, as individuals, as families, as a community, and as a world, stay focused on Jesus Christ in all that we do and to honor him in all that we do. So these three things are this. Number one, forget those things that are behind. Easier said than done. Right? Forget those things that are behind, especially the big things that we stumbled on this last year, the things that were hard for us. It's harder to forget those things. But Paul wasn't saying there's no way we would remember those things. We're going to remember them. They're there. They're part of our life experience. You lost a loved one. You had a difficult financial situation. Your marriage was in turmoil. You had difficulty with your children or your grandchildren. These are things that we won't forget. But he was simply saying, I believe, Paul was saying here, that those things should not hold us back. That those bigger things should not hold us back. In the same breath, I think Paul is saying, do not get too comfortable on the celebrations that you had in the past. And the accomplishments that you've had in the past. Don't rest on your laurels. Don't just claim that prize and say, okay, I'm good to go. I've done what I need to do. I don't think that's what he meant here either. Don't allow anything from your past to hold you back, good, bad, or otherwise. But keep on moving ahead. And while the past may have left a few scars, and the last 2 years certainly have, left some scars on our world in more ways than one, we must realize that we cannot dwell upon these things, and we cannot just sit and think about them and how terrible they were and how bad everybody should feel for us. That's one good thing about a pandemic, I guess. Everybody else is going through the same thing we are. And I actually have to tell you, I found some comfort in that as a pastor, knowing that our church wasn't the only one that was going through these same difficulties and continues through some of these same difficulties. But may we all have the strength to look back, as Paul did, and learn from our mistakes, learn from our failures, and grow from those experiences and become more like Christ. Secondly, we should reach forward to what is ahead. Some versions put it this way, that we should strain forward to what is ahead. To me, that involves perhaps even a little bit of pain. The old saying, no pain, no gain. When I was a teenager and in my 20s, that was the thing that we all shouted out in the weight rooms, you know, no pain, no gain. You got to feel the burn, you know, and you got to feel that so you can, you know, you're doing something. We need to strain ahead. We need to press forward, to reach forward. And I want to tell you that there are times when you are serving God that it can be painful. It can be, and it can be lonely. And you can feel like the world is out to get you and that you're alone. But we need to move forward anyhow. We need to move forward and realize that even as we strain, God is being glorified. And I also want to remind you and to remind myself that it's worth it. Nothing we do for the Lord is done in vain. It's worth it. It's worth the pain. It's worth the suffering. In fact, Jesus says that when we identify with him as we identify with his sufferings, and we are blessed because of that, even though it may not feel like we should be. So I want to encourage you today to have optimism, even as you reflect backwards, not getting stuck on those things, but to enjoy the race, to continue on. An old saying was, there is joy in the journey. There is joy in the journey of serving Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you that even in difficult days, you can still find the joy of Jesus Christ. The third and final thing is that we are to press toward the goal. This is where Paul really lays out the one thing that he's after. He's forgetting, he's choosing not to dwell upon the past, successes and failures, his sinful past. He's not going to get bogged down by those things. He's pressing toward or reaching for something better in his life and what's ahead of him. And he continues to press on toward the goal, and he's looking to win a prize. We must all remember as we run this race, we are running for a purpose. And the race that we run is not a sprint, but it is a marathon. It's something that we continue to do throughout our life. We continue to steadily move forward and to run toward that prize. We need to remember also that we will be rewarded one day for our faithfulness in that race. That we will hear, as some of our loved ones have heard this last year, "Well done, good and faithful servant." The word "press" seems to convey the idea that of living life not just with a journey in mind, but we're pressing on to something greater, and that there is a finish line ahead. If you could with me imagine a runner who is neck and neck with another runner, and they're nearing the finish line, and one of them just cranes out their neck and just barely crosses over. Or if you're racing a horse and you've seen the horse races and the horses are neck and neck, and all of a sudden one just barely by a nose, here comes someone, and here they come around the corner, and there they are, and they win the race, they win the prize. That is something to be excited about. This one thing is what Paul was after. He was after this one thing. The one thing that he was after was to have an eternity with Jesus Christ. It's the ultimate prize. It's not a prize that can be claimed in this space, in this time. It's not a prize that we can get on this in this world. But it's one that we will be given in heaven. So I want to encourage us this morning to think ahead, to move forward, to strain ahead, to do the hard work of Christmas. You thought the hard work of Christmas was over when all the presents were wrapped and put under the tree, and all the shopping was done, and the baking was done, and the parties were over. The hard work of Christmas continues on all throughout the year. And it is like the poem says, it's taking care of those that are weak, those who are sick, those who are poor, those who are in need of clothing. These are the things that I believe we are good at First Baptist Church, helping those that are in need. We are looking for new and exciting ways of doing this in the new year, and I hope that you'll join us in that journey. Let's dream some dreams together this year. Let's not do things the way that we always have done them in the past, expecting that things will be different. Because as Einstein is credited with saying, that would be insanity. We need to do some new things, some different things, to look at things differently as a church. It might make you uncomfortable. It might even bring up those words of a dying church, we've never done it that way before. But I want to remind you this morning of our journey that we took a couple of years ago, that we would be willing to do anything in order to reach the next generation for Jesus Christ, that we would be willing to do whatever it took to reach people for Jesus Christ. We need to be about that in these coming months ahead of us. But above all, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, we need to remember this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. May your one thing be much like Paul the Apostle, to know Christ. You want to know him, and you want to know him more. You may be sitting here today and thinking, well, I already know him. You may know him, but do you know about, you may know about him, but do you really know him? Have you really truly accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you really truly committed your life to serving him? To pressing on, to straining on, to doing the hard work of Christmas, not only during the Christmas season, but throughout the year, to do that hard work. May that one thing for you this year be to know Christ and to know him completely. And as we forge ahead into 2022, isn't it good to know that we serve a God who will never change? Lots of things change in this world. If you look back from 2020 even to where we are today, think about all the things that have changed, all the things that are new in technology, and the updates that have had to be made in this world, including right here in our own church. As we look forward to 2022, experience tells us that we all have no idea what's going to happen. If we went back to 2020, there was no way in January that we would be able to predict that just a couple months later, there would be a global pandemic. No one knew about that. No one was prepared for it. Yet, we can almost always, and we can always, be rest assured that the same God who brought us through that and brought us to this point is the same God that Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is that Alpha, and he is the Omega. So let us continue to look forward. Let us continue to press on and to strain forward. And I want to take this opportunity this morning to say thank you to you. Thank you for your faithfulness, your dedication, your willingness to serve and to minister and carry on the mission of Jesus Christ through this local church here at First Baptist as we forge ahead in this new year. You know as well as I do that our nation needs great prayers right now. The entire world is experiencing tremendous difficulties. The entire world is in need of a revival. We need Jesus more than ever, ever before. That is the work of Christmas that you and I have ahead of us. I pray that our thirst and hunger for the new things will only intensify as we move past this day and as we move into this new year. And that as the weeks and the months go by and the hours and the days, that we will know Jesus more. I pray God's blessings upon each and every one of you, your families, your loved ones. And I want you to know how very much I appreciate each and every one of you and love all of you so very dearly. You're an important part of our life and ministry here, and you mean the world to me. Happy New Year to my dear church family and friends. God bless you all. Amen.